It's good to see everybody tonight, glad that you're here. And it is getting colder, and the week will be getting colder as we go on, and that's just part of being in the wintertime. So we remember what the Lord said, seed time and harvest, summer and winter will last as long as the earth stands, so it's just part of God's plan. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful for this day, so grateful for your love, so grateful that you gave us Jesus to die for our sins, so grateful that you gave us the Bible. We're grateful for the godly people that have been in our lives and those that have helped us and strengthened us. We are just thankful for every good gift that you provide for us every single day. Bless us now in our study. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Tonight we're going to read two verses. They're going to be from the same chapter. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 13. So I'll give you a few minutes to get over there. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's read number 7, Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now that word conversation in the King James Version really should be translated life. It's not talking about talking and conversation that way. It's talking and follow the end of their life. Now let's look down to verse 17. The writer says, obey them which have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Tonight we do want to talk about the idea of the authority of elders. Now in the world in which we live today, there is a general attack on the idea of authority. You see this almost every time there's some sort of problem in a certain city or a certain area, and a policeman is there, he's trying to find out what's going on, and you will have people who will just yell back at the policeman. The policeman might say, I want you to sit down and I'll get to you in a minute. And the person stands right back up and starts talking again. The policeman says, no, I want you to sit there and be quiet while I talk to this one, then I'll get to you. The person stands back and says, you don't tell me what to do. Sometimes that has been sent to judges in courts. It has been sent time and again to teachers. It has been sent to principals in schools. You don't tell me what to do. Somehow our world has gotten this idea that anybody, anywhere, anytime is their own authority and nobody tells them what to do. The sad thing is that that has affected the Lord's church. People have written articles, written books, made blogs saying that you do not have to listen or obey elders in the church. Some have even taken the position that elders have no authority whatsoever, no more than any other member of the church. Some have said elders have no right to make any kind of definite assignments to say, all right, you're going to be teaching this class, or you're going to be taking care of the finances or whatever. They don't have that right. Some have said that elders cannot have a meeting of just the elders, that is not allowed. You can't have just an elders meeting, that everybody should know everything that's being discussed, whatever is the situation. Some have taken the position that elders cannot make a decision unless they consult the whole congregation. There was a congregation up in West Virginia who took this position, and whatever somebody brought up to the elders, the elders would then call a meeting for the brethren at church, usually on a Sunday morning, and they say, this idea has been brought up. What does everybody think about it? If somebody said, well, we want to maybe raise the secretary's salary, they would bring that up and say, what's everybody think about giving the secretary a raise? Or what do you think about giving the preacher a raise? Or what do you think about doing this? What do you think about doing this? The elders did not make any decisions. They just kind of facilitated those meetings, but the congregation could say, no, we're not going to do this. The elders might think it's a good idea and say, yes, we ought to do it. But the members would say, no, we're not going to do it. They would take a vote, just a general vote. They say, elders don't have any kind of authority over the congregation. Now, the Bible is specific when it comes to its own authority. The Bible is authority, and it is the authority in matters of faith. And certainly it authorizes in different ways. We talk about how it authorizes by direct statement. It authorizes by implication or necessary inference. And it authorizes by proved examples. And you find that all the way through Old and New Testament. But there is another aspect of authority that we don't talk about very much, but it needs to be discussed. And that is the authority or the area of expediency. Because as we mentioned this morning, with every single command, there is the area of judgment, how that command is going to be carried out. We don't think very much about how we take the Lord's Supper, but I know a brother who went to Thailand, and for about 3 or 4 weeks in Thailand, he never had the Lord's Supper as we had. He said they had it in these congregations way back in the hillside, and everybody took of it in a Dixie cup. And most of the congregations only had 6 or 8 Dixie cups. So they filled it up to the close to the top, and they would pass these 8 cups around, and you would take a sip, you pass it to the next person, they take a sip, et cetera, et cetera. They get to a church, and they would wash up the Dixie cups, let them dry out, and use the same thing the next Sunday. Well, I'm sure they wore those Dixie cups out after a little while, but they didn't have any glass or plastic cups as we know it. But again, that's something I wouldn't be happy to be a part of, but there are things like that that have to be decided. Paul loved Timothy, or loved Titus on Crete, to ordain elders. Paul ordained elders in Acts chapter 14, and the area was in the area of expediency. Now it's clear what the Bible says in regard to its own authority. Authority itself resides in God, just by the very nature of the fact that he is God. He has given his authority to his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said that in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Christ delegated through the Holy Spirit his authority to the apostles. He said in John 16, 13, he said, you shall be guided into all truth. When Peter wrote 2 Peter chapter 1, he said in verse 3, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so the apostles, when they would write down something, or somebody that they had laid their hands on and given a miraculous gift, would write something, that writing was as inspired as the apostles speaking, which it really means as Christ was speaking, which really means as God the Father was speaking. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, when you read, you will understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. John said in 2 John verses 9 to 11, do not go beyond the doctrine of Christ. So in matters of faith, we have the inspired book, whether we're talking about baptism, we're talking about the Lord's Supper, we're talking about elders, we're talking about the Christian life, we're talking about repentance, anything that is of spiritual nature, we already have the answers in the book. Now, our problem is we have not read the book enough. We don't know it quite as well as we should, but that's not God's fault, that's our fault. But we need to go back and read the Word. But to carry out these obligations, there are matters of judgment. It may be how many containers you use in the Lord's Supper, maybe the time for the services, but in all these areas of expediency, you take the various works of the church, evangelism, benevolence, and edification. Go out in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that's the command. But how are we going to do that? Are we going to have a radio program? Are we going to have a television program? Are we going to just go on the internet? How are we going to do that? We're going to just send flyers door to door. How are we going to do the evangelism that we want to do? When it comes to mission work, there may be a case where we have a missionary come in and he's going to go to Africa and he has a good presentation. And we are thinking about that, and the next week we have another missionary going to India. And he also has a good presentation. You have to make some decision. We're going to support the man in Africa. We're going to support the man in India. What are we going to do? When it comes to benevolence, the Bible tells us that we are to take care of the widows and the orphans, James 1:27. And that's only part of benevolence, good works that must be done. But again, there has to be some decisions made about that. Are we going to support this orphan home? Or are we going to support this one? Are we going to do this particular good work, maybe the Lodale Christian Nursing Home, or are we going to support the orphan home? Maybe we want to try to support both. And so there are all kinds of decisions in that area. becomes edification, building each other up. Someone might say, well, you know, the Gospel Advocate has produced this series of workbooks. These look like very good books that we can use for our classes. Somebody else said, whoa, but there's another a company over here, Firm Foundation. They produce some workbooks also. These might be just as good as the ones from the Gospel Advocate, and it may be, well, someone's got to make that. That's human judgment. It's not regulated in Scripture, but somebody's got to make that decision, and that's where the elders come in. When it comes to things of a physical nature, congregations have been meeting, say, in a school or in a hall, and they decide we need to have a permanent place to meet. They might say there's a piece of property on a certain road. We need to go look at that property, and somebody needs to sign the contract that they're going to purchase that property. If they decide to erect a building, again, how big is the building going to be? What should we have in the building? How many classrooms, et cetera, et cetera? And again, that's a matter of judgment. That's where the elders come in. Elders do have authority. Now, I just want to read a few verses that I want you to be impressed with the fact that this is not something that I have dreamt up. It's not something that has happened in the 20th or the 19th century, but it goes back to the Word of God. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now, Paul is talking about somebody who is over you. There have been some people who have said, well, the word elder is not in that passage. And I would agree, yes, that's true. The word elder itself is not in the passage. But who is he talking about? Who is over the brethren? Is it going to be anybody? Is it going to be some pope in Rome? Is it going to be some bishop somewhere? Is it going to be some group of bishops? What is he talking about? He's not talking about things like that. There was somebody in the church in Thessalonica that was over the brethren. The same idea is used when it talks about the episcopos, that they were overseeing the work that was going on. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul called the Ephesian elders, he told them that they were to function as overseers or episcopos for the church there. Again, how can a man do that if he doesn't have some authority? If he doesn't have some right to make some decisions, how can he function in that way? In the same passage, we have the idea where he is called a pastor, or he is to be a shepherd. He is to feed the sheep, watch over the sheep. How can an elder do that if he has no authority? If every time he wants to make a decision, he's got to go to the congregation, or he's got to go to some committee, he's got to go to some other brother in the church, how can he make decisions? Just think about it. If you're talking about a shepherd out on the hillside, taking care of the sheep, taking care of the flock, does that shepherd have authority over that flock? Obviously, yes. Listen to this passage. When Paul told Timothy about the qualifications of an elder in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he said that a man must be able to rule his own house. Because if he cannot rule his own house well, he does not know how to take care of the church of God. Now what Paul is doing, he's arguing from the lesser to the greater. The lesser in this passage refers to his family. He has to know how to rule or take control or be over his family. If he doesn't know how to do that, how can he possibly rule or take charge or be over the church of God? If his family is not well-behaved, if he's not doing well with taking care of his family in that way, obviously that man is not qualified to be an elder. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul said that the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. That rule well. Now, if the elder can't have any rule over a congregation, what is Paul talking about? Why would Paul even use the word rule if they cannot rule in some sense? Now, we have read two passages in Hebrews 13, where again it talks about them having the rule over you. Verse 13 says, obey them that have the rule over you. Again, the idea is very clear. Elders have authority. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter said this, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind. Elders do have authority. Now, there are limitations to their authority. That's something that some men have forgotten, but they just don't have absolute authority. There have been times when people in religious groups have said, well, this person's the authority, he can do what he wants. In history, there was an idea that was started thousands, well, maybe not thousands, maybe about 1,500 years ago, but it was carried on for about 1,000 years. It was called the divine right of kings. And the Bible says the king is God's appointed ruler, and so people would say, therefore, if we are God's ruler, we can do what we want because we're God's ruler. And many of them did wicked and awful, terrible things. The men called to account, they said, you cannot question me because I'm God's ruler. I'm God's man. Well, that's just not true. When you forfeit the word of God, when you go against the word of God, you forfeit the idea of any kind of authority. That goes for a king, it goes for an elder, it goes for a preacher, it goes for anyone that violates God's word. That person is not entitled to be held in respect. Again, that has happened with elders at times. The elders have said, we are the elders, we make the decisions, you can't question us. Why not? There's nothing in the Bible that says that we can't question an elder. We may disagree with him, we may want to talk to him privately about the situation. We don't want to embarrass anybody publicly. But the fact of the matter is, we can talk to an elder about any particular situation and say, what is your thinking on it? Now, it is the case that from time to time, elders have to make decisions in our party to things that are of a personal and private nature. Let's just say you have a man and his wife in the congregation, and they're having a terrible, terrible time, and even though they're both very faithful and working in the church and being in attendance, together they're just like cats and dogs. And their marriage is on the rocks. And they go to see the elders, and they talk to the elders about it, and they're very embarrassed about it, but they just can't seem to control the situation. Well, a situation like that, obviously that's something that is personal, it's something that is private, and the elders shouldn't be talking to other people about it. Somebody may suspect the thing is going on, they may question the elders and say, is John and Mary, are they having marriage problems? Sometimes the elders just have to say, I just can't talk about that. I just can't talk about it. Now, that some of you might say, well, that gives you the answer to the question. Maybe you shouldn't even ask that question to begin with. Really, it's none of your business. It's John and Mary's problem. If you suspect John and Mary have a problem, why don't you go home and pray about it? Pray for John and Mary instead of wanting to find out all the gossip and all the details about it. Elders many times have been said, have things have been told to them privately that they must keep confidential. And they have to realize that there are times when the elder can't even tell his wife. Many elders have said that this is one of the hardest things in life, that they know that something is wrong, they know that there's a difficulty. Sometimes the wives of elders have said the same thing. My husband can't sleep at night, there's something going on in church, there's some problem, and he can't talk about it. Well, that's just the way that it is sometimes. It's sad, but it is. But elders many times have to know that they have to keep some matters confidential. Now, there are other matters that really doesn't matter. If somebody says, well, what's the preacher planning on preaching on next week? And an elder says, well, we asked him to preach about baptism, so we think he'll have a baptism sermon next week. Well, that's fine. Somebody might say, is the preacher going to be out of town next week? I've got some family coming, somebody coming, I want to hear our preacher. Well, they might be able to say, well, I'm sorry, but he is going to be away next Sunday. You know, so they can tell things like that, but there are many times when they have to keep things confidential. Now, elders do not have the right to make laws. The Bible says in James chapter 3, there is one lawgiver, and that is the Lord of cause. Of course, they do not have authority to make laws. Secondly, they do not have authority in matters of faith. The authority in matters of faith has already been stated, and that is the word of God. Now, there may be some occasions when elders have some suggestions in regard to some things that are matters of faith. They may come to the preacher and say, you know, you've been preaching on the book of Leviticus for quite some time here. The last 6 months we've been hearing sermons from the book of Leviticus, and we're learning all about that tabernacle and all about those sacrifices and all about the priesthood. We're sure learning about all those things, but you know, our congregation needs some sermons about families. We got some families, got some problems. We need some sermons about marriage, and some sermons about love, and some sermons about the family and the children. We think maybe you ought to cool it on Leviticus for a little while and give us some sermons about families. Now, they can make that suggestion. That's a good suggestion. And sometimes preachers really need elders to give them some feedback and say, hey, we need sermons on this area, we need sermons on this area, we need this, we need that. And a preacher's responsibility, and that is to give, to feed the flock with the ideas and the teachings that the elders want to in that regard. As we said, elders cannot make decisions in matters of faith. No elder in the world can say, no preacher can preach on adultery. No elder in the world can say, you cannot preach on homosexuality. I heard of one situation where a preacher had preached a sermon on homosexuality. Elder came to him and said, don't you ever, ever speak on that ever again. He didn't say anything more, but the preacher knew immediately what the situation was. He knew that that elder either had a son or a daughter or a brother or sister, somebody in his family that was homosexual. And he wasn't going to hear sermons about that. That preacher did the smart thing. He resigned within a short period of time. He found another congregation, resigned, and just let go at that. But there have been times when that has happened, where the elders have said, you are not to preach on this particular part of the Bible. Well, they may make a decision about this is not the best that we need right now. Like I said, they may say, we've heard about Leviticus for the last 6 months, we need to move on to something else. But they can't say, well, you can never preach about this or never preach about that. Elders do not have authority over another congregation. They have authority over the congregation in which they are a part of. Peter talks about that, about them not being lords over God's heritage. And that is the idea of those that they are in charge of, but they are to exercise some authority, but that authority is just within the congregation itself. Now they may be requested to talk to another congregation. A number of times when elders have been asked to come to a congregation and say, look, we don't have elders, we need some insight, we need some input, we need some help, we need some guidance, we want to present you with the situation and just hear what you have to say about it. They can advise, nothing wrong with that, but they have no authority over another congregation. Now, Peter does say they are not to be lords over God's heritage. They are not little popes in a congregation. They are not petty tyrants in a congregation. They are not little tin gods, as one translation says, in a congregation. But they are to be servants. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 20. He said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, that is, over the Gentiles. And they that are great exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your master. Some translations said, let him be your servant. And it's important that elders understand that they are servants of the congregation, and they must always keep that in mind. Now, another thing that you need to keep in mind is that elders have equal authority. There have been times when some men have said, well, I've been an elder 20 years. We just appointed that man last week. He doesn't have an authority. I have the authority here 20 years. Well, you may have been an elder for 20 years, but you don't have more authority than he does. He has the same authority. Now, there have been some elders who have tried to dominate. There have been some elders who have tried to rule, and they're trying to make all the decisions for a congregation. I know a congregation when this particular elder went on vacation, the eldership got together, if something came up, they had to make a decision, they made a decision, this elder comes back, and he finds out they made this decision, and he was furious. What do you mean making that decision? What do you mean making that judgment? What do you mean doing that? I wasn't here. So, you weren't here. But he never went on a vacation again. He wouldn't leave. I wonder what his wife thought about that. She might have gone on the vacations. But that, again, is the idea some men have had, that they can't make decisions without me. And I will admit that in situations like if you have two elders, one elder goes on vacation, the other elder's left, and he may have to make a decision by himself. That may happen, but it's rare. But he may want to say, look, I want to wait till our other elder gets back, and he and I will talk this thing over before we make a decision about this. But you have to keep that in mind, that authority is in the eldership. It is in the group together. It is not in the individual making decisions, unless the eldership has delegated a particular elder to make decisions and do something for the congregation. Now, one more thing to keep in mind, that is, elders are to do what's best for the congregation. No other congregation in another state. And this elder's son was in the construction business, and his business was really not doing very well. And most of the people in the congregation knew about that. And all of a sudden, one of the elders gets up, one whose son was in the construction business, made this announcement. He said, "We have decided as an eldership we need a larger church building." And everybody kind of looked at each other and said, "Well, we've got a couple of empty pews here, you know, why?" They couldn't understand. But anyway, the elder said that they had made that decision, and they were going to put up for bids. Well, you know who got the bid? The son of that elder. And people wondered about that, because they said, "We want to know who else was allowed to make a bid." And the elders wouldn't say anybody else. Everybody suspected maybe nobody was given the chance to bid on that project. It was going to be that elder's son no matter what. Now, there's all kinds of things that you might well say about that. It may have been, well, that boy, he was a member of the church, he would do a better job, maybe he would give him a better price. That may have happened, I don't know. But there have been times when some elders have just made decisions and said, you know, "We're the elders, we make decisions no matter what." It is true that they do have authority. It is true that we are to respect their authority. It is true that when they make a decision, we may disagree with the decision. Let's say elders are trying to hire a new preacher. And they bring in three candidates. They bring in Tom, Dick, and Harry. And you hear Tom, he's all right. And you hear Dick, well, he's pretty good. Well, and you hear Harry, you just love Harry. Harry is the best. You say that to somebody, said, "You know, we had these three men coming. Boy, I sure did like Harry." But it says, "Harry? Are you serious? I really like Tom. Tom is the best one." The person saying this, she said, "Are you guys out of your minds? Tom and Harry were nothing compared to Dick. Dick was the absolute best one that was trying out." So all three people go to the elders and say, "You better hire Tom. You better hire Dick. You better hire Harry." The elders have to make a decision. And you may disagree with the decision. You may say, "Well, they hired Harry, but I really wish they'd hired Tom." Well, maybe they did. Now they made a decision. You go with it. You say, "I will pray for this preacher. I will pray for the elders. I will not cause trouble within the congregation. I will have a cohesive working together with this person. And nobody's going to pray for that preacher more than me. I didn't vote for him. I didn't want him to come. I wanted one of the others, but I'm going to support him. Whatever the situation, I'm going to support the elders. As long as they don't do something unscriptural or something that is wrong, then they have our support. And hope and pray all of us will respect the authority, respect the role that they have in the Lord's church." Now we're going to sing our invitation hymn. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do so this evening. "With Christ born in the waters of baptism, as a child of God, you realize you've not lived a Christian life. You need to rededicate your life one way to that. You need that prayer. We'd be glad to pray with you for you. Whatever your needs might be, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing."